So basically, I got very intrigued when you talked about your book. Very unusual name, I must say.
Is to be aware of the magic and the responsibility and the power that the energy of finance has, and to apply it in a way that is of service to the world. Happiness is understanding that you can help yourself and knowing that you have tools available all the time to get through something. So it's not necessarily like rainbows and sunshine and ice cream.
You know a bit about our podcast?
What you call spiritual luxury, just like an openness to abundance that doesn't need to be, self-suffering or negating comfort in order to also be spiritual and helpful society that are in service. So you can be both enjoying your life from many aspects, grow or to change, particularly when it's not from a place of sadness. So, in my case, I relocated from a city where I was happy, where I had lots of friends, a good job. I just had this nagging feeling for many years that I wanted to return to Europe. And I realized if I didn't do it at some point, I would still be talking about it 10 years later.
The wonderful things that come with relocation. Of course, there's a lot of anxiety and excitement at the same time.
Well,
But
the first one's always the hardest, I would say, probably. The best answer will come from you because ultimately the lesson that you receive from that action is going to come to you.
all right. So, hi, I'm Neeti Keswani, author of best-selling book Live Your Dreams and host for Luxury Unplugged podcast. And at Luxury Unplugged Podcast, the central theme is luxury meets spirituality. So at Luxury Unplugged, we're not just about showcasing luxury, we're about uncovering the passion, the dedication, and the innovation that lies behind every masterpiece. So join us and let's unravel the stories that every guest brings on this podcast. Let's get started. Today, we have Alessandra Veronesi. She's an author, meditation guide, and a relationship educator. And she has been 20 years in the corporate world in New York City and then Europe. And now she is residing in Italy. Alessandra, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's been so lovely to meet you, and I'm so glad to be here today.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to have you. So, Alessandra, your entire experience looks already very intriguing in terms of your relocation, your move. So tell me something about it. How do you find hopping around the world?
Wow. I think in my case, it's always been a question of you must do what you can't not do. So, the longer you delay, maybe something that feels like it's a voice inside of you that's pushing you to move or to grow or to change, particularly when it's not from a place of sadness. So, in my case, I relocated from a city where I was happy, where I had lots of friends, a good job. I just had this nagging feeling for many years that I wanted to return to Europe. And I realized if I didn't do it at some point, I would still be talking about it 10 years later. So in my case, it became just a question of putting into action something that had been on my mind for a very long time. And it wasn't easy, but it was worth it. So I know you also relocated. And we were just talking about our experience with that.
Yeah.
It's not, it's, how was it for you?
So in terms of when you do country relocation, it's a different ball game altogether, I feel. You're not only just changing cities, you're just changing countries. That means cultural change, lots of new dialects, new types of people that come into your life, and possibly lots of new friends as well. A lot of loving communities you meet at times. And I think in the long run, we tend to have more friends around the world. I think that is the big takeaway from relocations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I noticed that maybe for you it might be the same. So in my case, I moved back to a country that I am from as well. I just hadn't lived here as an adult. So I'm half Italian. And so that was what was driving me. Something in my soul was feeling like I wanted to experience this other land that, you know, somehow was a part of me ancestrally as an adult. And but what I discovered was, as much as I had been to Italy as a child on my vacations and I had experienced it, you know, extensively in that sense, it's so much different when you move as an adult and then you're actually involved in the, you know, the bureaucratics of the country and, you know, the mentalities that govern the society, which eventually we transcend when we awaken. But at the time that I had moved here, I was still very much, you know, in that corporate mindset where I was used to things being a certain way. So there were some adjustments that needed to be made at the time. But at the end of the day, I agree, the biggest takeaway is having so many friendships around the world. And in this digital era, it's absolutely feasible to maintain. And we just find each other in different places in the world and enjoy where we live. So
true that. So now coming to your book, I think the book's name itself, you know, talks a lot. Unfeel Your Life. How did you get to that name and what's the story behind it?
Sure. So the book is called A New Banana, Unpeel Yourself and Elevate Your Relationships. And I was trying to basically say the process that I underwent. So I'm just sharing in a neutral way through the book, the process that happened to me, which relieved a lot of unnecessary suffering that was driving my decisions for better and for worse. So what I found during COVID, having a chance to pause and not have so many external situations happening around me, that there were many layers that were starting to come off after I began to also meditate. And I found time to really be with myself and develop a relationship with myself. Because up until that point, I don't even think I stopped to ever acknowledge my true self, you know, living my life. I was just going from job to job, trip to trip, activity to activity. And so at first it was actually very difficult to be alone with just me. And I had kind of a crisis and a bit of a breakdown. And then I found meditation and that just sort of carried me into a very soft place, which I was ripe to feel. I was finally ready to experience that.
So does your book talk about the guided meditations or the healing ceremonies that are there, or is it more about a story, a fictional story? How would you
So the book about... it's a guidebook, so it's not fictional. I do mention it's not a memoir either. I mentioned some stories at times to contextualize some of the advice, and it's a result. So I actually wrote 72 meditations during that time frame, 72, and many of them were very talking. So I was able to turn them into content for the book. So it stems from initial meditations. And actually, it's funny you mention, I've come full circle today because now I'm working on a meditation project and I have 3 free guided meditations on my website if anybody would like to download them. And so it's, but the book is really, it's divided in 4 parts and it examines all different relationships. So the first part, which is the most important part, is our relationship with ourselves. The second part goes into relationships with others. So friendships and strangers and work relationships, and also exploring the structures that that we have in society, and you know how to understand when you're meeting someone, what influences could be a part of their identity, which are not necessarily, you know, who they are, and so to understand how to separate when you're meeting someone. How to you know, how to interpret like some behaviors, which might be different than yours. And then it goes into relationships with the universe and understanding energy and understanding the laws of the universe, some basic simple laws, and trust and manifestation. And then it goes into romantic relationships. So ultimately, our relationship with ourselves can positively influence all of our relationships around us if we're able to build that connection. And so we build that connection actually by removing layers and seeing that whatever is left is your solid foundation. And then from there you live in the moment, and from there you build in a more neutral and clear and direct way your life.
And hence the name Unpeeling.
Unpeel yourself, exactly.
Right. So I think it ties in very well with our theme as well, because we talk about spirituality not per se in the religious sense, but in the sense that, you know, you need to be happy,
mm-hmm.
Centered, and peaceful within to actually follow your dreams, to live your passions every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can absolutely relate with the kind of work that you might be doing in this project. So,
I heard something just the other day, which really resonated with me, back to being happy, like the definition of happiness. And I'm going to paraphrase it, but it was something like, happiness is understanding that you can help yourself and knowing that you have tools available all the time to get through something. So it's not necessarily like rainbows and sunshine and ice cream, but happiness can stem from your own realization that no matter what is happening around you, you have what it takes to get through it. And that gives you confident happiness in any situation around, because you're no longer externally influenced about how you feel inside. So, and that's sort of what the book is aiming to do, is teaching different ways and different perspectives across a variety of contexts where you can figure out the silver lining and shift the perspective so that you can see it in a different light, which will help you gain the tools to then reframe further situations into happiness.
Right. You also have mentioned about healing ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that pertaining to meditation itself, or is it something deeper?
It's both. So I do sometimes live meditations, and I've observed that there is an element of transportation that happens when I'm with people and I'm guiding them through a meditation. So there is, you know, definitely some energy that, you know, beautiful energy that comes in and really helps uplift. I am more or less following, when we're thinking, we're not connecting, and when we're connecting, we're not thinking. So when I do ceremonies, I very much follow the moment of how it's going. I have certain practices in place, but I also leave it open to the other person and what that energy is saying. And sometimes I combine elements of NLP, so even mind work, and, you know, creating confidence, because these things can work together with energetic support. And there are other times where, you know, depending on the location, if it's also allowed, I will bring in the help of plant medicine. So plant medicine can also reach a beautiful state of internal wisdom for the client who is ready to approach it in that way. And so, but the meditations are basically, in and of themselves, journeys. And sometimes they can be very visual. At times I incorporate even physical things. So like going into the cells and transforming the cells of the body and connecting with various universal planes. So there can be a lot of transformation that we can do on ourselves with the power of our own conscience. And, you know, we are our own best healers. And sometimes it's just having the right prompts to get to those realizations.
So do you think that when you talk about healing or when you talk about meditations, of course, guided meditations are planned in such a way that, you know, a person can do them on their own. But as far as, healing practices or healing ceremonies are concerned, do you think it is better if it's instructor-led? Or do you think that somebody who is really wanting some kind of a transformation should go ahead and
Oh,
do it on their own?
both, both. So in my case, I was blessed to find people along the way who were there for me and who showed me also their methods. And it was very helpful, I would say, initially to have that presence nearby because, but also if you take the initiative, if a person takes the initiative to research certain tools and go into them themselves, that's also very powerful in to the universe because it's showing, okay, this is an individual that has raised their hand and that is looking for answers. And all you must do sometimes is ask and you will get the answers that you need. You can also ask a variety of things to the universe or to whatever your beliefs are, to your higher self, to whatever is guiding your path, your divine path and your process in life. So I would say in my case, it was COVID. So I was alone. So I discovered this on my own. I practiced some breath work and found some really incredible results. And there was a lot of healing that took place in order to define it a little better in the beginning. Having a person, a mentor to chat through it, to say, oh yes, that's beautiful. You transformed this, or this is probably what took place. That also gave me more information to continue to be a disciple of life in an aware way. And also someone who is helping with these practices is also is able to weave energetic activities in a way that are beneficial because it can be quite powerful at times. So having someone who can hold the space for you can be really helpful. So it's good to do both. If someone feels the calling, they should completely go for it and make sure that they're in a safe place, whatever they're doing. If it's a meditation, they're probably going to be just fine. They'll be very happy, depending on the meditation.
So any inspirational mentors that you think are your go-to guides?
Gosh, I have so many. I have many, many mentors. It depends on the space, I think we can say. In the ceremonial space, I've worked with a lot of tribes from the Amazon and some leaders, some Colombian leaders. So, initially that culture found me and I speak Spanish. So I was able to follow the ceremonies and, you know, there's a lot of indigenous practices which connect to nature so much, which is such a beautiful and grounding experience. And then I also have worked with this very powerful mentor for me, and she's one of my closest friends, and she is in Switzerland, and she operates, you know, on the universal level, and she is, you know, just completely, a trailblazer of her own, and she has all these insights and practical ways of looking at life, which really help you, which really helped me go from spiritual to material. So being able to connect the two, which is what I love about your podcast, because one of the things she told me, which always stuck, and her name is Invita, she always said, it's easy to have a lot of money and to not be conscious. And so just to live your life, eat on a boat, go on vacation, dinners, galas. It's also easy to, it's more valiant, but it's also easy to not have a lot and to pray and to be in a house in the forest and grow your own tomatoes and never leave. But what's difficult is to be aware of the magic and the responsibility and the power that the energy of finance has, and to apply it in a way that is of service to the world, to contribute and give back. So to be able to hold both energies, both the pure and the real and the, you know, the earthly and combine that with what's essentially looked at as something superficial and, you know, for personal gain, to be able to merge the two together is where the world should be going. And hopefully more and more people are waking up to this way of living.
That's beautifully put about our podcast, as well as about your message as well. That's beautifully put together, I must say. And lastly, I think I'd like to tell you a little bit about our community that is valuing, you know, artistry, craftsmanship, and pursuit of excellence, of course, because we are dreamers, right? So our listeners are seekers of extraordinary stories. And if somebody wants to take out any three nuggets from your story or your journey so far, what do you think you'd like to tell them?
So this is interesting. This is my latest insight, and it's working for me very well so far. So I hope it resonates. And that is, learn the rules like a professional so you can break them like an artist. And what I mean by that is we have all of these tools and all of these practices and all of these modalities and infinite ways to reach a means end, right? We're all, the path converges. We're all going to one place, hopefully, which is blissful inner peace, connection to source, whatever we want to call it, abundance, light, uplifting living. But the way we get there, once we've learned how to do these kinds of things, ultimately, we make the choice what works for us. And we make the choice on how we want to show up in our lives, what we want to say, whether or not it makes sense, what we say no to. And as long as we reflect on the intention behind it and why we're saying no or why we're saying yes to a certain thing, there is no spiritual handbook, there is no Google article, there is no friend. The best answer will come from you, because ultimately the lesson that you receive from that action is going to come to you. So it's best to try and as soon as possible, really start plugging into our intuition and not worrying so much about how we come across. Yes, it might be messy. Yes, it might be awkward at first, but it's also so beautiful when you can look back and recognize that your track record has been decision after decision that came from yourself. So I would say, learn the rules like a professional and break them like an artist.
I think that is sort of what we are trying to understand from each of our guests, that, you know, one special nugget or some key takeaways that, you know, we can have for our listeners, for our viewers, our community, who want to basically tune in to something interesting, something that will change their life just by listening to our podcast. And if we can have more and more authors, we can have more and more artists, more and more creative entrepreneurs who can bring that magic into this podcast, I think we would be going in the right direction.
I agree. And I think you're doing an incredible work, just like bringing this out into the field. And the energy that comes from this is going to... it's going to affect people also in subtle ways. And I hope it leads everyone to their own answers. And of course, there's always benevolent guides along the way that will tell you that that's the answer. And until you get to that place, there are tools. And for me, it was meditation. So, and at first it was guided, because of course it's difficult at first to go into silence and get to that place. But I wish you lots of luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And we'll leave your links as well in the description of the podcast. And
yes,
we would be talking about them in the snippets for the discussion with you as well. So that people, if they want to really understand what your guided meditations are all about, they can simply go and at least utilize the free ones, and the rest can follow. Right.
Yes. And if they want to message me on Instagram, I have an Instagram or on my website. I'm also happy to discuss with anybody if they want to do custom meditation programs. I can create custom ones for a particular issue that they might be having, we can discuss it, and then we can put in some unique energy work into the meditations.
So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
We had so much fun having you, and it's such a calming and centered experience for me as well. And we both talk. For my viewers, this is a message that if you like this video, please continue to tell your friends about it. Keep on spreading the message that we're trying to do some work that might help you or your friends. So keep coming back for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.